877-207-8345.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Cullen Economics Report. I'm Al Cullen. Appreciate you joining me. We're going to discuss both finance and politics on this particular two-hour program. I'm going to start out, we're going to talk about the economy in the United States. I've got David McIlvaney on the line with me. David is involved with, obviously, the McIlvaney Financial Group. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. It's appropriate that you should combine the conversation in both politics and economics because a part of our financial and economic problems have to do with politics. And if you break that word down, poly and ticks, as I've heard some refer to, these are many blood-sucking creatures back on the East Coast who know what to do with their money in one regard, but it seems a waste on the other what they actually spend it on. So it's pretty tough to solve the financial problems without looking at the poly-tick problem, if you will.
Gosh, I got to tell you, isn't that the truth? You know, I did a daily editorial yesterday talking about the degree of economic freedom in the United States as compared to the rest of the world. And, you know, concurrent with that discussion, I brought up the fact that, you know, 40% of the GDP in the U.S. right now is directly attributable to one form of government or another. And, boy, talk about the elephant in the room that shouldn't be in that room. Isn't that interesting, the direction that we're headed, huh?
Well, looking at this year, 2012, you know, there's positive expectations for GDP growth. And, you know, I've often pointed out that while we can look at those numbers and say, okay, maybe it's 1, 2, 3% GDP growth, the reality is when you look at the component of government deficit spending, which comes to about 10% of current GDP, This is filling the gap, essentially, where the consumer has retrenched and is no longer in the marketplace, and government is spending money they don't have to maintain this facade of stability in the marketplace. Regardless, it'll be Goldman, it'll be Morgan, it'll be all the rest who say, look, we've got positive growth this year.
Mm-hmm.
If you suck out that deficit spending number, you're actually negative 6 to 8% in terms of the GDP figure. So I think the reality is the patient is beginning to recover but still on a respirator. That's the picture that's more appropriate, not leaving the hospital, but still in ICU, although vitals are getting better.
You know, that's a really, really interesting analogy. I would agree 1,000%. Well, you know, getting into the realm of finance, people obviously need, David, to protect themselves. Number one, they have to be informed. They have to be aware that they need to protect themselves. But once they come to that conclusion, and our listeners, for the most part, have gotten there, and they got there a long time ago, in this environment, what do you think? What is the McIlvaney Research Group focusing on right now? What are you telling your clients they ought to be doing?
Well, there's a couple of things. One, we do have some indications of return to quote-unquote normalcy. The U.S. ISM manufacturing numbers peaked up. Factory orders were better than expected. Vehicle sales were interesting as well. In terms of the claims data, it was better than expected too. Jobs data, that is. And, you know, going back to last week, you've got $1 trillion, which is hanging over the mortgage market, which may get spent and act as a further subsidy for home ownership and, you know, refinancing and what have you. So there's some things that represent a silver lining. But our sense is that we're dealing with a very frail system, a system that wants to deleverage. And frankly, the only thing propping it up is central bank intervention. You know, the trillion dollars that could come into the economy, into the mortgage-backed securities market particularly, just being a single case in point.
Yeah.
So while you've got some positive news that you could respond to and position your portfolio ahead of, we'd still encourage listeners and clients to be more defensively minded, a healthy cash position. You may not like the dollar, but I think it's going to be okay in the first 3 to 6 months of this year. Healthy cash position or liquidity. A healthy metals exposure. Precious metals are, you know, at a very attractive point in terms of a purchase. You've seen both technical support as well as the fundamentals coming in strong. In spite of the numbers selling off, we've seen massive buying in Asia. That's been a 10-year trend, but certainly the last two quarters have underscored that point. And then I think you can have something of a growth play. If you want to look at this as sort of a third approach, you've got your liquidity on the one hand, physical precious metals on the other. Having something in equities today is going to make some sense. Just be cautious, you know, your general big name stocks. I don't think that's what's going to be rewarded. If you're looking for the undervalued, you'll find a few in the mining space. You know, maybe a few in big pharma, if you're looking for dividend plays that have been pressed lower over the last several years. Just time to be really cautious.
Yeah, it is time to be cautious. And one of the reasons that I am particularly cautious right now is you brought up some numbers that I find to be really, really interesting. Now, I want to talk about employment first. Now, the employment picture, theoretically, according to the government numbers, is getting better and better and better. And for sure, in the upcoming race to November 2012, for sure, you know, the administration is going to trumpet the fact that, look, unemployment went up to over 9%. Now we're down significantly from that. You know, hurrah. I would maintain that the employment numbers don't really give the true picture. Do you think I'm crazy?
Yeah, I don't think they give the real picture at all. I mean, that this is where you do see a high level of chicanery in the construction of these numbers. You know, 8.5%, you know, improved off of an 8.7 number and improved even more off of a recent 9.1 figure.
Yeah.
These are impressive improvements until you look at some of the finer details. You know, you take last week's numbers, an increase of 200,000 jobs for December, of which 42,000 were seasonally adjusted. So essentially, the numbers came in exactly where they thought they would. Mm-hmm. You take out that seasonally adjusted 42,000, you're closer to the 155, which was expected. So.
Yeah.
And frankly, if you looked at the stock market last week when that number was announced, stocks were very unimpressed because they know that these numbers are being tortured in order to sing the right song. And certainly in an election year, that's where, you know, coming back around to the political, that number is going to get better and better regardless of the man on the street and what he's experiencing. Now, this week, you know, we've got initial jobless claims up 24,000. It's the week of January 7th, and you know, following the holidays, it's not going to be a big surprise to anyone.
Numbers can tell any story that you want, and without lying, I have to add, you know, the employment numbers as unemployment / employment is gauged today are a far cry from what they were back even as recently as in the late 1980s. They're a far cry from that. But, you know, the chicanery that you're talking about and that I'm talking about here has to be realized and by investors. And once they realize that, then I think they need to take that into meaningful consideration when they are involved in their investing. I agree with you that probably at least for the first quarter of this year, U.S. dollar-denominated investments are probably going to be okay because I think other currencies are going to really, really dramatically drop in value. The euro, for example, in light of what happened on Friday with the downgrading, you know, the S&P downgrading of France, that's not going to help the euro at all. And where else are people going to go?
Well, and the real pressure for the U.S. market is probably going to come at the tail end of the year. We've got a number of things which are changing. You know, we've got the rollback of the Bush tax cuts effective. You know, again, that's on the horizon. We've got FASB 13, which really impacts your commercial real estate arena considerably. And, of course, the lobbyists are out in droves to make sure that that doesn't get implemented.
Yeah.
But there's some things that are happening that would definitely impact the U.S. markets second half of the year. First quarter, you're right. Any volatility, any concerns that you've got in Europe will play positively. And again, it's not like we're an absolutely strong place to go, but relatively speaking, we have liquid capital markets, and it's a better place to be than probably European equities or even the European currency.
I would agree 1,000% on that. You know, your dad taught you some lessons really, really well, and that is the importance of hard assets in an environment like this. David, thank you so much for your time. Stick around, you guys. Big Al's going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Hi, Jason Lewis here. Anybody who's been listening to my program knows how shaky the U.S. economy is right now. Will we have a V-shaped recovery, or will it be a W-shaped one where the nation slips back into recession? Of course, if you think that Washington can spend or inflate its way out of a downturn, you've got nothing to worry about. But as you know, I have my doubts. So let me tell you about gold. Now, as my friend Ted Anderson from Midas Resources likes to say, gold, like all commodity markets, fluctuates in price and you could lose money, but it has never been worth zero. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but has since lost 90% of its value. And if things don't change, I'm afraid the trend will continue. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237 for gold and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orgicillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes. Whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Listeners, it's Jason Lewis, and now that the holidays have come and gone, it's time to get serious about our New Year's resolutions. For 2012, resolve to protect your most valuable asset, your family. Daily, we hear about all the crazy stuff happening around the world, unemployment, food shortages, natural disasters, just to name a few. For my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna and savory stroganoff that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947 and enter promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Peace of mind, the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love.
If you don't want to be unprepared, BePrepared.com. BePrepared.com is the official site of Emergency Essentials, the 24-year leader in emergency preparedness. Why do they lead? Because of best value, best selection, and their low price guarantee. Take advantage of BePrepared.com's inventory reduction sale going on right now. Save up to 43% on food storage and emergency supplies. Up to 43%. For example, Be Prepared with freeze-dried peaches and strawberries, freeze-dried roast beef, 182-piece first aid kits, 9-meal MRE kits, a waterproof multifunction emergency LED flashlight for only $3.99, and much more. BePrepared.com. All supplies last. But hurry, sale ends when inventory's gone. Call 800-999-1863. That's 800-999-1863. Or online at BePrepared.com. BePrepared.com. Best value, best selection, and low price guarantee. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. I'm Al Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. We are chatting right now with a listener who I have gotten to know over the past few years at the various conferences that we attend and that I often speak at. Very, very interesting guy. His name is Ray Navis. Ray splits his time between Alabama and California. He is a very, very active investor in the resource sector. Interesting background, how he got involved in this. I'm going to let him tell you about it. Ray, how'd you get involved in it?
Well, Al, I was reading a Fortune, I think it was an article in Fortune or Barron's magazine about Richard Russell and his Dow Theory letters. And I just was in, found myself in total agreement with what he was saying, and it led me to an interest in the sector. And he started talking about conferences he was attending.
Yeah.
He used to talk a lot about the New Orleans conference, and then I found the shows were easier for me to get to, and that's how I got started.
Obviously, there's value in attending the resource conferences, and I've been beating that drum, Ray, for probably the past, I don't know, 20, 25 years or so. I started attending conferences and speaking at conferences back in 1982, and what I have found is that the education that people derive from attending the conferences is nothing but beneficial for their investing. Sounds to me like that's why you go, too.
Yes. I think you learn something every time you go. And whether it's a pay conference or a free conference, I find that the knowledge is there on both of them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, we have a conference coming up here in Vancouver, British Columbia, actually next weekend, the Cambridge House International Investment Conference. I'm going to be doing a keynote speech there. I'm going to be moderating a panel on precious metals. I'll have some very, very interesting folks on that panel, among others, James Turk, Bill Murphy from GATA, et cetera. And I'll be doing a workshop there also where we're going to be recording some radio. Now, you're saying that going to the conferences has broadened your knowledge of the resource sector. I think that goes without saying, but give me some examples of some of the things that you've learned by attending these things.
What I decided fairly quickly was that I was not going to be proficient in geology,
right,
and probably going to take me a long time to understand that whole field. But what I was good at was sizing up people. I had been a headhunter spent 10 years doing that, and so I figured out that the newsletter writers, following the better newsletter writers, were the best way for me to go. And I think that most individual investors would probably come to that same conclusion.
Well, I think it is very, very valuable to listen to the presentations at these conferences of people like John Kaiser and others. But I think it's also very, very valuable if you're thinking about investing in a company. I think it's really valuable to go and visit with the management of that particular company at these conferences, and they do allow you the ability to do that. You know, you say you're pretty good at sizing up people. Well, I'd like to think that I am too. You know, I cannot invest in technical reasons because I don't know anything about the technical aspects of geology or what have you. But, you know, I'm a people person, and over the years, being able to ascertain where a person is coming from has really, really treated me well.
Oh, yeah, and it's amazing the information and the access to these people. For example, when I was in the New Orleans conference, I was talking to Bob Quartermain, who's a kind of a legend in the gold and silver and precious metals industry, and he had all the time in the world to talk to me, an individual investor, and that kind of opportunity just doesn't exist in a lot of industries.
No, I agree 100%. Quartermain is a very, very interesting man. Silver Standard was a hugely successful company, and his new company, Pretium, I think is probably going along the same lines. Now, what do you think in terms of the average American or Canadian for that matter, or German for that matter, anybody, what in your opinion are things that they should look at when they're considering investing in the resource sector?
Well, I think they should look at the track record of the management, for sure. I think they should try to find out who the largest shareholders are. You want to see some familiar names in there.
Yep.
Or well-known investors involved in the company. And then I think management ownership is certainly a key indicator to how serious they are about the company.
I would agree 100% on that. You know, and that's an interesting topic to bring up. If management doesn't have skin in the game, so to speak, their own money and their own deal, why in God's name would an investor want to invest in a company like that? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Exactly. And I'd almost take it a step further
in looking at the largest shareholders, if you don't see some sophisticated investors there, then why would you be there?
And that's a very, very good point. That's something, you know, that I think a lot of people overlook. You do want to look at the larger shareholders, and you want to identify who they are, and then you want to ask yourself, well, why are they there? And, you know, and obviously 99.9% of the time, they're going to be there because they think that they see an opportunity here. Kind of enlarging our discussion a little bit, Ray, in terms of the various sectors in the resource industry, you know, by that I mean we can talk about energy, we can talk about precious metals, we can talk about base metals, we can talk about, you know, a whole lot of things. But what sectors do you like the best?
Well, right now, I'd say gold.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the thought occurs to me, what better business could you be in than the creation of real money? And I keep thinking about that as gold is becoming more and more accepted as a currency.
Yeah.
in the world, and you've got companies here that are basically discovering money.
You've got companies that are discovering money, you know, and I have to believe that the way things are evolving in the various economies around the world, I think the odds of perhaps returning to a gold standard are pretty good. You know, I did an editorial yesterday, Friday, where I talked about some facts that the Wall Street Journal has brought out regarding the strength or lack thereof of some of the Western economies versus some of the Eastern economies. And, you know, the United States and Canada right now are truly, truly dropping. And all you have to do is look at the numbers, and you can see that they're getting worse and worse and worse, whereas in the Far East, Hong Kong, China, et cetera, are getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And these are folks who are real proponents of sound money. I mean, the Asian folks are very, very actively going in the direction of an asset-based currency. And, you know, historically, the Chinese, for example, have always really been very, very focused on gold as the currency of last resort. And for that reason, I think that we're headed in that particular direction. Would you agree?
Yes, I would. And I would also urge listeners to take a look at uranium investments. I think many uranium stocks have been oversold over the past year since the Fukushima accident.
Oh, yeah.
And I think there's a real opportunity there.
I would agree 100%. We had a listener actually write in on our blog this past week and say, you know, Big Al, what do you think about uranium? And I have always been a proponent of uranium. We spoke about that with Mickey Fulp here a couple of weeks ago, and Mickey also was very, very bullish on uranium. When you look at the evolution of the growth of the various sectors in the energy industry, you can't help but just believe, you know, the importance of uranium is a natural outgrowth of the general acceptance now of nuclear power, et cetera. So I think it's going to be a very, very interesting place to be. Ray, I'm looking forward to seeing you down in Indian Wells in February. I'm looking forward to that. We're going to continue these discussions. Hey, you guys stick around. Big Al's going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health Products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
Don't answer it. If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the freeze-dry guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. I'm Al Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. We have Ron Hera with us right now. Ron has a very, very interesting organization called Hera Research. I have to tell you, the more I get to know this guy, the more I realize that he is a very, very valuable contributor, A, to society, and he's going to become a very, very valuable contributor to this show. He's got some really, really great ideas, and we're going to share a lot of those ideas with you beginning this week with Ron. Ron wrote a research paper, I guess is the best way to call it, calling How America is Becoming a Third World Country. It's, I think, of particular importance to folks who listen to this show, because the particular environment that we're all in as investors, if we're not aware of the environment, our investment decisions may not be quite as astute as we would like them to be. Ron, in your article, you're obviously not very optimistic about the future of the U.S. Is that correct?
Well, not the way things are going, no. I mean, we have a number of problems in the economy. We have a banking system that's disproportionately large relative to the size of the economy. Another way of saying that is to say that there's excessive leverage in the banking system, that there's too much debt in the economy. So those are all different ways of saying the same thing, that the debt to GDP is completely, can't be reconciled. And that's a major, major problem. At the same time, the size of government is also disproportionate to the size of the economy. Honestly, we're practically becoming a socialist state. The federal government alone is more than 30% of the economy. If you include state and local governments, it's closer to 40%.
Yeah. To me, it's kind of scary. You know, I sent you an article that we haven't really discussed on this show before, but it was written by a fellow by the name of Porter Stansberry. And in that article, it was called The Corruption of America, by the way. It was very, very interesting because he brings out a lot of negative sides to what's going on in the United States right now. But by the same token, he says, you know, the American people are resilient, and I have faith that this situation is going to reverse itself. Now, you mentioned in your study, Ron, that you talked about the banking system and how it's becoming disproportionate to the size of the economy. You mentioned that government in general represents 40% of the U.S. GDP. That's bad. Give us a couple of other examples that you brought up in your report, would you?
Well, sure. I mean, if you look at the trends, and this is what I mean when I say that the United States is on track to become a third world country. Of course, not that it is a third world country today. There are many ways in which it is not. For example, when you look at infrastructure or if you look at public health, I mean, setting aside the fact that our infrastructure is crumbling around the country, but certainly it's not even comparable to a third world country. So there's many ways in which you really can't make a comparison. But if you look at things like household income and household wealth, when you look at the structural trends in unemployment, and by that I mean the size of the workforce, not the top-line numbers that they report in the news. I mean the fact that the proportion of the civilian population that's in the workforce continues to shrink. So these are major, major structural problems. And at the same time, we have an increasingly distorted distribution of wealth. There's something called the Gini coefficient that basically measures the disparity of income distribution over the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the charts for different countries, you'll see that the U.S. is on track to overtake Brazil. And, you know, after that, if we continue down this road, we're going to overtake what are widely recognized to be third world countries. Of course, Brazil is not. But, you know, we're on a par with South American countries right now.
With many of them. Well, I know the degree of economic freedom that was just determined by the Wall Street Journal this past week had many of the South American countries significantly ahead of the United States in terms of the amount of economic freedom. And interestingly enough, Chile was close to the top of the list, which now I've been to Chile. I know what's going on in the economy down there, and I have to say, the Chileans are doing a lot of things absolutely correct. You know, getting back to the Porter Stansberry article, you know, he brings out all of the issues that he feels are really detrimental to what's going on in the United States right now. And they all center around primarily one thing, and that is big government. You know, I am not a fan of big government, and I would have to say that you're not a fan of big government either. The question that I have resulting from the concept of big government is the direction that the United States going in right now, in your mind, is that something that is just a natural evolution, or is that something that may or may not be planned by big government? What do you think?
Well, I mean, if you want to say that politicians come and go and that bureaucrats stay the same and that government tends to grow over time, I would agree with those statements. But at the same time, I mean, we have to be, you know, there have to be custodians of the government that keep it down to a size that's reasonable. When the government is disproportionate to the size of the economy like it is now, the government becomes the single largest customer in the economy.
Right.
And as a result, every company, especially large companies that want to survive, they must have the government's business. And so they lobby the government.
Mm-hmm.
And when the government is so large, the government basically overregulates.
Mm-hmm.
And as a consequence, you have companies that lobby the government in order to get the regulations that they want. And they do.
Yeah.
So you could even go so far as to say that we're heading towards a sort of fascist system where you have a merger of big companies and the government. And small companies, small businesses where 70% of jobs are in the U.S. economy, are pretty much left out in the cold.
what should listeners to this show do to protect themselves? I mean, we're talking about investments. We're talking more and more about, you know, the general environment, because I'm convinced that politics and the general environment play a huge role in terms of investment decisions. What do you think people should be doing right now to protect themselves?
Well, I think that we're in a policy-based inflation environment. And I want to be clear that inflation and deflation can happen at the same time in different areas of the economy. The broad U.S. economy, domestically speaking, is a deflationary environment right now. And, you know, we hear in the news, for example, that consumers are deleveraging. Well, what that means is that there's more people paying off debt than borrowing new money. That reduces the amount of money in circulation because, of course, money is borrowed into existence.
Right.
And that by definition, that's deflation. So you have an environment that's very difficult for small businesses. It's very negative for jobs, for example. But at the same time, you have a policy response to the banking situation that is a radically inflationary situation. And you have big government deficits. If you take those the deficit spending out, you'd see that the GDP has remained negative since 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very difficult environment where you've got inflation and deflation happening at the same time. And I think that the best way to handle this is to focus on hard assets. And mm-hmm. I think, and I'm not an investment advisor, but I think investors need to own hard assets free and clear, unencumbered. In other words, don't have any debt. And investors at the same time need to be diversified where they have leverage to rising global commodity prices because of the inflationary policy responses. So you need to cover both sides of the coin here, with the deflation side, in other words, owning unencumbered hard assets, and then also the inflation side. And as far as the hard assets are concerned, the nominal prices of those assets may fall, but the real value will not.
When you talk about hard assets, I'm a real believer in investing in the companies that are in that particular sector. Comments on that?
Well, that's exactly what I do. I focus on companies that basically explore, discover, develop, and produce natural resources that are rising in value because of supply and demand fundamentals. And I mean global commodity prices, especially metals and precious metals.
That's where all the listeners of this program are also there. You know, I've been involved in that sector, as listeners are aware, for about 30 years now, and I have to say that the sector has treated me very, very well. It's amazing to me to find people who argue against investing in hard assets and the hard asset sector, because, you know, where would society be today if it weren't for the hard assets, whether you're talking about energy issues, whether you're talking about base metal issues, whether you're talking about precious metal issues, what have you. Hey, listen, you guys, I want to recommend that you take a look at Ron's newsletter. Ron, thanks so much. You guys stick around. Big Al's going to be right back.
Did you know that how well your brain works is directly dependent upon how well your gut works? Did you know that an inflamed or compromised digestive system directly contributes to poor focus, depression, irritability, attention deficit, and hyperactivity? By eliminating the inflammation in your intestines and by having good bacteria populations, you may enjoy better brain function. The most important protein your body needs to keep inflammation down is glutathione. The number one food to support a dramatic increase in glutathione production is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. Virtually all whey proteins are damaged by heat, filtration, and chemicals, except one. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein on the market. It is changing the lives of its users in very positive ways. One World Whey may act as one of the most important health foods to support your and your child's optimal brain function. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Did you ever think you'd be where you are a decade into the 21st century? Record foreclosure rates for homes, if not yours, your neighbors. Thankful for the unemployment check since you were laid off. And placing your child's name on the angel tree in hopes of a Christmas gift, along with thousands of other Americans. Did you ever think your future would feel this out of control? The fact is, in all this craziness, there's only one thing you can control. Your greatest dependency, your food supply. Make 2012 the year you take control by getting prepared. eFoods Direct introduces the best way to build your food supply in the 21st century. Get a 21-day supply of food free with purchase. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Take back control in 2012. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Remember, you can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, you're listening to the first hour of the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. So I'm Al Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. Going to wrap up this hour with James Turk. James is, as I say every single time I have him on the show, in my opinion, the perhaps foremost expert on issues dealing with gold in the world. He's been involved in this sector for an awful long time. He founded a business called goldmoney.com, and I bet you 99% of our listeners are invested with you in goldmoney.com. James, let's take a look, first of all, at the gold sector as to what's happened in the last year. Gold in the last year has closed up 18.81%. That's not bad. Now, I don't remember how many years in a row that is, but I think that that's probably at least 10 years in a row that gold has done very well. I do not see that trend changing. Do you?
No, I don't see it changing either. You know, it's actually 11 years in a row. And the interesting thing, Al, is that gold is up double-digit rates of appreciation, not against just against the U.S. dollar, but against all of the major currencies of the world. So yeah. What you're seeing is a bull market in precious metals and a bear market in national currencies.
You know, we had an interesting event this past week in that Trader Raj came on the show and indicated to me that he had uncovered a substantial amount of buying in terms of gold spreads in the United States by a financial institution. Can you shed any light on that one?
You know, there are a lot of hedge funds and, you know, traders and whatnot with all types of arrangements. But, you know, I think the bottom line for most people is just buy physical precious metals. It's a bull market, and we have a long way to go.
Give me your comments on the demand. Is it going to stay the same, or is it going to increase from the big, you know, the big elephant in the room, and that is mainland China? They seem to be buying an awful lot of gold. You think that's going to change in the future?
I think it's going to probably mean more gold going to China, not less. You know, this is actually a big factor in the gold market at present. Up until about 18 months or so ago, domestic production in China satisfied Chinese demand. But as wealth is being created in China and as inflation in China is increasing, the demand for gold is now greater than what they can produce domestically. And China, in the last couple of months, has been importing as much gold as India has been importing, which is the largest. India has been the largest importer of gold in the world. So this is a profound impact that China is having on the gold market. And I think this is going to continue for the foreseeable future because China's monetary problems, you know, like the rest of the world, are not getting any better. So people are going into physical metal as a safe haven alternative.
James, when are domestic investors, and, you know, by domestic investors, I'm referring right now to people in the U.S., when are they going to wake up and understand that diversification of a certain amount of their capital into gold just does absolutely nothing but make sense? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, first of all, some people will never wake up, and that's unfortunate because you really need gold to protect your wealth and preserve your purchasing power. But it's a process, Al. You know, as the gold price rises, more people start to pay attention. More people become better educated as to what, you know, gold is all about and start studying and learning about it and find out whether gold is useful to them. And, you know, gold has usefulness because it's a tangible asset. It's money that's not based on someone's promise.
Yeah.
In that sense, gold is unique. Gold is also unique in the sense that it's got 5,000 years of history, whereas the currency that we're using, backed by nothing, has only 40 years of history. So, you know, if you compare those two, you know, gold clearly has the proven track record. And given all the uncertainty we're seeing with national currency, you know, people should be rightly worried about what's going to happen to, you know, the various national currencies around the world, including the U.S. dollar. So it is a process. And, you know, as the gold price rises, more and more people will be drawn to the gold market and understand, you know, what gold is all about.
You know, it's interesting. This past week, Kathy and I went to a lecture, and they were talking about various historical events that occurred, you know, and I didn't realize this, but going as far back as the ancient Egyptian culture, gold has been a symbol of eternity, which I find to be very, very interesting. You know, people ask why has gold been used, for example, in the Christian culture, for example, in terms of in the Catholic Church with the chalices, et cetera, and the reason that gold has been used in these areas isn't because the folks are necessarily, you know, engaging in incredibly opulent actions, but it's because gold doesn't rust. Gold is very, very permanent, and gold does represent eternity. And boy, you know, that really got me to stop and think about why gold has become so vitally important in the investment community. It just absolutely amazing that it hasn't taken on a bigger role, for lack of better terms. Projections for 2012, what do you think in terms of gold first?
Well, much higher. You know, we had a big news event over here in Europe today. S&P announced that they're going to be downgrading the French credit rating
right
to AA+. There was an announcement today by a French official, you know, confirming that point. So, you know, France has now been downgraded just like the U.S. The more sovereigns downgraded, not only from AAA, but, you know, even the ones that are already poor credits, they're going to be downgraded further. And in that kind of environment, Al, where there's a lot of uncertainty, you know, people are going to look for safe havens, and gold is the ultimate safe haven. Gold and silver, I should add, for that matter.
Let's kind of enlarge our discussion. I'd like to talk a little bit about projections for the various economic environments around the world. And I'd start out by saying I am very, very pessimistic about the United States and Europe. And the reason I say that is because in the United States and Europe, the degree of economic freedom, and this is not an opinion, these are hard numbers that the Wall Street Journal brought out. In the U.S. and most of the European countries, the degree of economic freedom has decreased dramatically since 2007. Hard to believe, but true. In the United States right now, for example, the government, whether you're talking about the state or the federal government, the government in general, It now accounts for 40% of the gross domestic product of the country. That has been proven time and time again to be very, very detrimental for economic growth. And I have to tell you, in a macro sense, I am not optimistic about 2012 in terms of economic growth, or even using the word stability, not nearly as optimistic as I have been in the past. Comments?
There are definitely a lot of things to worry about. And your point about 40% of economic activity in GDP, you know, coming from government spending, you know, that's a higher percentage than during World War II when the country was on a war footing. So that should really make everybody stand up and take notice. The point is that, you know, governments don't create wealth. What they do is they take wealth from the private sector and spend it however they want. And as a consequence, what you really want is a large percentage of GDP coming from the private sector, because it's this wealth that ultimately raises everyone's standards of living.
Yeah.
A country becomes poorer as the government taxes and spends more and more of the private wealth being created.
Very, very definitely the case. And, you know, I guess the question that I have, and this has become almost an obsession with me, but the question that I have is, why did we evolve? Why did Western society evolve into having an environment like this? Any comments on that?
You know, I'm not really a sociologist, so it's really outside my area of speciality, but I am a student of monetary history. And, you know, we go through cycles. And we're in what I would say is a cycle that's not a good cycle, but, you know, hopefully the wisdom will be there to put us on the back road, you know, on the road that is headed in the right direction. And the key component of that, in my mind, is having sound money, you know, once again. And I'm in favor of reestablishing constitutional sound money, i.e. gold and silver coin.
What do you say to the argument that a lot of folks have, primarily the liberal folks, I might add, in the United States, you know, their argument that you know, adherence to the gold standard makes absolutely no sense. Keynesian economics is the answer. Austrian economics just is absolutely pie-in-the-sky dreams. I find that statement to be incredibly ignorant. And I find it to be amazing that you've got a Nobel laureate economist like Paul Krugman who believes that. I mean, that just flies in the face of common sense in my mind. We got 30 seconds left. Comment?
Yeah, you know, there's a difference between common sense and economic theory. You know, economic theory might mean one thing, but common sense is something entirely different. And my point is that if you look at real incomes of American people, the peak was reached in 1973 when you're adjusting for inflation and taxes and everything else.
Yep.
It's been downhill ever since. So I think the liberal formula has not worked.
No, the liberal formula has not worked, and it's been proven time and time again, and we need to get away with it. James, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. You guys out there, stick around. We're going to be back with the second hour of the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right. Every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.